together tonight. Sure do thank the Lord what he's done. Amen. I'm just amazed. I'm so small. I'm nothing. I'm just thankful he let me share this. Amen. And I sure do thank him. Amen. Have your Bibles tonight. Book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. Book of 2 Peter chapter number 3. While you're turning, I want to tell you about a little statement that is found in 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. The Bible says something about the children of Issachar. Issachar was the fifth son of Jacob. And the children of Issachar was one of the 12 tribes. And a statement is made about those children of Issachar in chapter 12 that said the children of Issachar had an understanding of the times and they knew what Israel ought to do. I think if we're needing anything in this day and time is an understanding of the times that we're living in now. I am convinced that we are close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe that he is soon going to come. Amen. There's been a few things said about the coming of the Lord in the last little while. Y'all remember last year when that gentleman came out and he said that he had studied the scriptures and he had the formulas all worked out, and he said the Lord was going to return on May the 21st of 2011. Y'all remember that? Well, he hadn't studied too much, or he had at least seen that verse where it said, no man knows the day nor the hour. Amen. Well, he said he made a mistake and missed it by about 5 months, and said it's going to be now October the 21st. Well, May the 22nd came and went. October the 22nd came and went, and the church is still here. Amen. Got a lot of people talking for a little while. And the gentleman said this to me. He said, I've been hearing about Jesus coming all of my life. Said, matter of fact, my grandpa went to the grave looking for Jesus to come, and he never did come. He said, I'm beginning to think there's nothing to it. Let's look what the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter number 3. Look at verse number 3 and 4. And then I'm going to skip down and look at verse number 9. The Bible said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and they're going to be asking a question, verse number 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But I sure do like verse number 9. Even though the scoffers are asking their questions, we can rest assured tonight now as God's people that God has not forgotten the promise that he has made in the word of God. Verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Father, we love you tonight, and we're thankful for the privilege you've given us to be here. Thank you so much, God, for everything that's already been said and done. I'm praying now, Lord, for the next few minutes that you'd touch us afresh, Lord, and give us liberty to stand and preach and share, Lord, what you've put in our heart. And whatever you do this evening, Lord, we'll thank you, we'll praise you, and we'll give you the glory for it. Lord, for it's in Christ's precious name we pray, and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Somebody made a statement not long ago and said, if the Lord don't return soon, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Y'all ever heard that? I'll tell you this right up front. God's not going to have to apologize to nobody. Amen. But I do believe I know why the Lord hadn't came back yet. Somebody say, what in the world could that be, preacher? How would you know? Try hear our scripture. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. The long-suffering of God is still being extended until this evening. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-double-L, that all should come. Amen. I'm glad it is a whoso whosoever gospel. I'm glad we're serving a whosoever God, and it's a whosoever salvation. Amen. It's not God's will that anybody perish, but that all come to repentance. But I promise you this. Rest assured tonight, the long suffering of God is going to run out. Amen. Y'all believe what I'm saying? The long suffering of God will come to a close before too much longer. If you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to really thank God that you got in while you can still get in, because there's soon coming a day when the door's going to shut, just like it was in the days of Noah. Noah already had the ark finished. Amen. It was loaded up and ready to go. And God told Noah, said, come in. Boy, that tells me that God was already on the inside. Amen. He got Noah on the inside. And if you'll study your Bible, the door stayed open for 7 more days. 7 more days of long suffering, waiting and wanting anybody that would to come on board. But I promise you, just as that 7th day came and God shut the door, the long suffering of God is soon going to run out. Amen. We're going to reach that day when the days of grace will be no more, and the long suffering of God has come to a close. I promise you, as sure as I'm standing here this evening, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. Amen. Y'all believe that, don't you? Well, where do we get an ideal such as that? This is not Baptist propaganda. This is not something that has been dreamed up. The ideal that Jesus is going to return is based on the scriptures. Amen. That's where we get the ideal that Jesus is going to return. Thank God for the Word of God. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God for King James Bible. Amen. I'm glad God preserved His Word. Amen. I'm glad we have the inerrant and infallible Word. Even in 2012, it's in the Word of God we get our doctrines. It's in the Word of God. I like what Brother Ackley said there a little while ago. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells me so. Amen. It's in the Word of God that we find out that Jesus is going to return. I believe, y'all believe, listen, y'all believe in the new birth? Y'all believe you got to be born again? Where'd we get that from? We got it right here out of the Word of God. John chapter number 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, said, you must be born again. Did you know the new birth's only mentioned about 9 times in the Word of God? Amen, only about 9 times, but boy, we sure do believe it, don't we? Amen. Let me say this on the side. If it's only in there once, that'd be enough. Amen. It's in there about 9 times. Y'all believe in baptism? Amen. You know where we got that, don't you? Amen. We got it right here out of the scriptures. But it's only mentioned about 20 times. But we still believe it. We practice it. Amen. Amen. But it's only in there about 20 times. We do it anyhow. I believe in repentance, don't you? I need a good amen right there. I believe in repentance. Amen. But repentance is only mentioned about 70 times. We still believe it. We still preach it. Amen. Go to looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know you're going to find over 380 some references to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You average that out, that's about 1 in every 25 verses is making mention about Jesus coming again. I'm not talking about the first time that He came. I'm not talking about when He came through the virgin womb of Mary and she wrapped Him in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. I'm talking about the next time that He comes. There's over 380 some references to the very fact that Jesus is coming again. Amen. Let me give you a couple very briefly and I'll move on. John chapter number 14. Now if you've got a red lettered edition Bible, now that just simply means where you see red ink, Jesus is doing the speaking. If you've got a red lettered edition Bible in John 14 beginning in verse number 1, you're going to find red ink. Yeah, listen to what Jesus said. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe
believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, right here it is. He said, I will. I like that, don't you? I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Jesus said with his own lips, I will come again. Amen. Acts chapter number 1. Now the Lord's completed his earthly ministry. He came through the virgin womb of Mary. He lived a sinless and spotless life. They crucified him at Calvary. God raised him from the dead 3 days later. He was seen alive at one time of as many as 500 people. But now in Acts chapter number 1, he's fixing to make his ascension back into heaven. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'd kindly like to have been there and watch that unfold. Amen. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I know there's a cloud there. And Jesus got on that cloud and he started ascending back into heaven. Yeah, well, those that were there, you know what they were doing? They were gazing. In other words, they had their eyes wide open. Probably a couple of them had their mouths wide open. Amen. I'm talking that they're watching him ride a cloud back into heaven. Now, he's not just a spirit there either. He's in a body. Amen. The resurrected body. And he's riding that cloud back into heaven. But while they're gazing, in verse number 11 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, the angel steps out on the scene and says this, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? For this same Jesus that you've seen taken from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven. The angel said that that same Jesus is going to come in like manner. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, I kindly believe I'm going to be in that crowd. Amen. That alive and remaining crowd, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Somebody told me, Brother Barry said, you're going to preach on the coming of the Lord, you better not mention the word rapture. I said, wait just a minute, why can't I mention rapture? He said, well, it ain't in the Bible. Boy, you done got it right there. We don't have a problem with the word Bible, do we? Amen, it's not in there. Well, the word rapture may not be in there, but thank God, friend, what rapture is right there in 1 Thessalonians 4. It caught up together one of these days, and I believe it's going to be real soon. There's going to be a shout with the voice of the archangel. The trump of God's going to sound. The dead in Christ, that's the key in Christ, are going to rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, going to be raptured. Thank God you ain't one of them preachers believe in the rapture, aren't you? Hang around, friend, and watch me. I'm going to be raptured here in just a little while. Amen. I promise you this. The idea that Jesus is going to come is simply based on the scriptures. Don't take my word for it, but you can take his word for it. He's coming. He's coming. That ideal is based on the scripture. That ideal of him coming also is believed to be soon. Amen. Or at least you're looking at one tonight that believes it's going to be soon. Now, I cannot put a date on it. Don't you dare listen to anybody that's trying to. Amen. They said just a couple of weeks ago that feller finally spoke up again. And he apologized and said he had sinned. Amen. What? Yeah, amen. What about that? Friend, we cannot put a date on it. But I do believe with all of my heart that we are children of the light, and that day should not overtake us as a thief in the night. Amen. Jesus said himself, you need to learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches are yet tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer's nigh. I'm going to tell you something. We got to talk about that a little bit today. Never seen things so green so quick. Amen. Man, everything's got a bloom and a sprout on it right now. I am not real smart, but I do know this. Summertime's right now here. Amen. Spring is sprung and summer's on us. Amen. How do you know that? Because I can see it all around me. Amen. Well, the Lord gave us some signs, and when we start seeing these signs, we'll know that the season is right. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, from what I'm seeing all around me, it looks like the season is right for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of places we could look, but let me give you one very quickly, and I'll move on. But in 2 Timothy, in chapter number 3, Paul is writing to a young preacher boy. Listen to what he said. He said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, I believe everybody in here can figure out what he meant by last days. Amen. That's pretty self-explanatory. But then he said, "Perilous times." We need to try to figure out what he meant by perilous times. Perilous times means dangerous times, times of uncertainty, times of unrest, times of uneasiness. I ought not have to say nothing else tonight. I believe we would agree that we are certainly living in perilous times. Amen. But my eyes ain't convinced yet. He goes on and gives us 19 descriptive terms describing these last days. Listen to what he said. "For men shall be lovers of them own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful." Boy, that gets us right there. Amen. I believe that hits us right in the mouth. What do you mean, preacher? Listen, church, y'all agree with me. We're probably the most blessed generation that's ever lived. Y'all believe that? We talk about the good old days, and I know there was some good in the good old days, but friend, we're so spoiled rotten in this day and time. My soul, we're so blessed. But I also believe this, we're probably the least thankful generation that's ever lived. Amen. Unthankful, unholy. My soul, there's another night's preaching in that very word right there. Amen. Unholy. I've never seen a time. I'm not talking about the world now. I'm talking about amongst God's people. I've never seen a time of more unholiness than the times that we're living in right now. Holiness is a thing of the past. Holiness has been tossed out the window of even most of our Baptist churches. Say amen right there. Amen. But I still know what my Bible said. The Lord said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Amen. But holiness is about gone. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. I'm going to stop on that one for a moment, if that be all right. Y'all know what natural affection is? Affection simply a showing of love, is it not? And he said in the last days we'd be without natural affection. Well, I see, listen, I'm around young people all the time, and I see this transition take place. I've watched it in the lives of my own children to a point. It seems like overnight, these girls wake up one morning and all the boys got cute. Ain't that right? Yeah. And boys, you ain't out of it. It's the same way with you too. Seems like boys wake up one night or one morning and my soul, all the girls just sprouted. Amen. They got real pretty. Amen. I just see that take place, and I've watched it with my own children, and some of you already know my oldest daughter's got a preacher boy after her. I reckon I'm supposed to be thankful it's a preacher. Amen. Well, I really don't care. I'm trying to be glad that he's a preacher. I do understand the facet of that. But see, here's the problem. That's daddy's girl. Amen. And it really don't matter he's a preacher or not. I'm having some trouble accepting it. Amen. I'm talking about just the other day she was like this. Oh, I'm just having some trouble with it. But you know, here's what I have to do. I have to remind myself, you know, this is natural. Is it not? Ain't that how God fixed this thing to be? Amen. It happened with all of y'all. Amen. There's a time when you met somebody and it just all started happening. That's natural. But we're living in a day when it's not very natural no more. My, and it don't even seem to bother most folk no more. Amen. One of our public schools here last year when it came prom season, we're about to gather around prom season again, and I'd say there'll be a bigger trend of it this year. But last year, one of our schools decided to do something a little bit different. Instead of electing a prom king and queen like they normally do, this school stepped out on a limb. They got half of it right, and they elected a prom king. But instead of electing a female for the prom queen, they elected his boyfriend for prom queen. Now listen, friend, I don't know much, but I do know this. There's nothing, absolutely nothing natural about that. Amen. That stuff's trying, they're trying to cram that down our throats. They're trying to get our children to accept it as an alternate lifestyle and trying to get us to believe they were born like that. I want to tell you what the Bible said. The Bible said it's an abomination in the eyes of God. I'm telling you what, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon going to come. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we're living in perilous times. Amen. Without natural affection, New York State was one of the last states that passed the law where homosexuals could be wed in their state. Y'all, please pray for North Carolina. May the 8th, the voters get to go to the polls and vote whether or not they want to protect marriage in the state that it should be in. They're fighting that, my soul. Oh, I'm going to get political. I'm not trying to, all right? But the president has done stepped in and condemning the churches in North Carolina for trying to get that on the ballot. They've worked for years trying to get that on the ballot so the people can decide. Hey, listen, I don't really give a rip. I don't care what your politics are, and I'm not interested in politics. I'm just interested in trying to do what God would have America to do. But I'm telling you, friend, we are certainly living in the last days. Perilous times are here. State of New York passed that law, and Brother Barry, for some reason, it went into effect on a Sunday. So on Saturday, hundreds of couples started lining up to be the first ones wed in the state of New York. In one of the lines in the front, this is what got me. Two females. An 81-year-old and a 78-year-old in the front of the line. They performed their ceremony and they told them they could kiss. And they did. Big roar went up from the crowd. I mean, they were thrilled. You'd thought somebody just won the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, church, God is not turned a blind eye to this. God knows exactly what's going on. And I promise you this, I don't know the day, but boy, we sure are trucking real fast. We're moving closer and closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in perilous times without natural affection. I ain't got time to cover all the natural affection. It's natural for a woman when she conceives to absolutely fall in love with the gift God gives her. That's natural, is it not? And that lady will go into nesting mode. You'll see them walking around talking to it. Amen? Hadn't even ever got here. They ain't crazy. It's just natural. Let me tell you what's not natural. It ain't natural for her to try to find a clinic somewhere she can go to get rid of an inconvenience that has came into her life. There ain't nothing natural about that. Amen? That's not even much of an issue anymore, but we're still killing thousands and thousands and thousands of babies every single day. I'm telling you, God's kept a record. God knows exactly what's going on. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus is soon going to come. without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, and on and on. Look at those things, study them out, and see if they don't match up line for line with the day we're living in. It's believed to be soon. You're looking at one tonight that believes that nothing else needs to be done. Only thing it's lacking is the shout and the trumpet to sound. It's going to be soon. Going to be soon. But not only is that ideal based on the scriptures, and that ideal is believed to be soon, that ideal is a blessing to the saints. Outside of seeing another and get in tonight, outside of seeing another and get saved, the next best thing I could think of that could happen this evening, it would just simply be the eastern skies to roll back. And the shout of the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, the dead in Christ rise first. I don't need to go to Robbins Field for nothing. I'd just soon go on to glory right here with y'all. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. That would be 100% all right with me. I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not, but I'm almost to the place where I'm praying, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen, I know there's a crowd that ain't too excited about it yet. They some that's saved that ain't got excited about it yet. There's some young people, they've got plans of getting married and starting families, and I reckon all that's fine and well, but on the other hand, there is a crowd that's been through enough, and they've seen enough, and they've hurt enough, and they've cried enough, and they've said goodbye enough, and they've gone through so much. There's a crowd around here somewhere that's looking for Jesus to come. They know that that's going to be the answer to the prayers. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, it's going to be a great day when Jesus returns and calls his bride out of here. Amen. It's going to be a great day. Ask that one, that dear old saint that's, one of the doctors done told them that there ain't much else they can do. They're going to try a few weeks of chemotherapy, and they're going to try some radiation, and they're driving back and forth, and it's burning up their skin. And ask some of them if it'd be all right, Jesus, just go ahead and come on back right now and call them out. Ask them. I'm telling you, there's a few that's looking for him, but not are they just looking for him. There's some are longing for him. Amen. Hadn't on dialysis, taking dialysis every day, and go ask some of them. Amen. Ask that one that arthritis has done deformed their bones, and they can't even grip a glass and drink a glass of water. No, ask them if it'd be all right with them if Jesus would just go ahead and come on back. Amen. What's so good about it, preacher? Well, it's going to happen in a moment, and twinkling of an eye. This mortal's going to put on immortality. This corrupt's going to put on incorruption. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to get me a glorified body like it unto his. Thank God there ain't going to be no more sickness. There ain't going to be no more cancer. And we won't get no more bad news. There won't be no more driving back and forth. Thank God it's going to be a good day when Jesus comes and calls us out of here. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good day. Amen. Gonna be a good day. Gonna be a good day. Yeah, they some looking for him. They some longing for him. Oh, won't have to say goodbye no more. Some of y'all done said goodbye too many times. Some of you done been back yonder in that cold, dark room at the funeral home enough. Amen. You've done gone back yonder and picked out too many caskets. You've done visited the graveyard too many times already. Amen. Thank God when He comes, we won't have to say goodbye no more. It's hello for all eternity, thank God. It's going to be all right when He comes. Amen. Gonna be all right. It's a blessing to the saints. Woo! Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I don't know if y'all worry about anything or not. Surely we ain't got nobody worries in here, do we? I'm gonna go ahead and confess. I worry so much it bothers me. Oh, preacher, then you ain't got no faith, then have you? I got about as much as you do because you probably worry about as much as I do. I know how we are. We're watching the economy. I've never bought a stock a day in my life and I'm still interested in it. Amen. I know everything, at least financially, hinges on Wall Street and all that stuff. And I don't even know nothing about that stuff, but I watch it anyhow. Amen. And just so much is going on, and parents worried about their kids and this and that. I'm telling you, it's going to be a blessing just not have to worry no more. Ain't that going to be good? Not another worry whatsoever. Amen. Won't have to worry about paying another bill. Hallelujah. All the bills done been took care of at Calvary. Amen. All the bills, it's going to matter anything when Jesus comes. Jesus took care of them at Calvary and they're stamped paid in full. Amen. Thank God. We just won't have to worry no more. Reunion. Y'all like to go to reunions? See friends and family you hadn't seen in a while. You're talking about reunion. Before we even get inside the gate, going to be a reunion in the clouds. Ain't that right? Hey man, right yonder in the clouds. And I ain't even mentioned the best part of it. Lord, we about to get out of here already, and I ain't even got to the best part. The best part. I need to tell y'all a story. I don't want to preach too long, but it's Friday, amen. I done told y'all I wasn't brought up in church. Got saved, mamaw's in her living room. An old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting. And God did change my life. And I'm not making excuses or anything of that nature, but I got up my teenage years and I started struggling. I mean, but thank God for the chastening. Thank God for Him dealing with me. And I'd get on my face before God and I'd say, God, please forgive me. I want to live right. I want to do right. And I got to a place where I said, God, I don't know how to do it. And I need you to help me. God, I need some help. If I'm gonna live, I need some help. So I started praying specifically. And God answered my prayer. And He sent that lady to me, that one I call Jeannie. God sent her to me. I believe that with all of my heart, God sent her to me. I met her and I started going to church with her faithfully. I'm telling you, I just, Lord turned my life and Lord got everything settled. And I met her and I fell in love with her real quick. And I'm not trying to get off path or anything, but they got to talking about it last night.
it came down. I was doing some work in an old house. Some of us were around, and old hillbilly boys, they ain't got much sense. And I reckon the time was right, and it just hit me. And I had an old wet paintbrush in my hand, dripping wet with white paint. And I walked over to her, and I got down on one knee. And I lifted up an old wet paintbrush. I said, "Honey, you marry me." And for some reason or another, she said she would. Real romantic, I'm telling you. We set a date to get married on October the 20th, 1990. But I believe all my heart God had his hand in that. And that date got moved back. We got married on June the 29th of 1990. As soon as we got married, her pastor, her uncle, came to me. Old timey, gun ball straight man of God. Came to me and said, "Son, you be interested in teaching our young people?" I said, "Brother, I'd be highly honored if you'd let me teach our young people." I started teaching the young people. Man, I'm telling you, things was good. I was just a newlywed, love like crazy. Started teaching that Sunday school class and had a newness of a love for Christ and a love for God and a love for church. But I felt like that God had more for me than just teaching that Sunday school class. So I pulled my wife aside. I said, "Honey, I think the Lord's wanting me to preach." Before she even thought about it. And listen now, her uncle was her pastor. That's all she'd ever known. And she heard how folk run him down. And she watched all the battles he had to go through and everything. So before she thought, she said, "I can't be no preacher's wife." Well, she no more than got that out of her lips. And Uncle Sam called me and deployed me to Saudi Arabia for Desert Storm. Just like that. I was taken away from my church, my Sunday school class, and my new bride. Well, this ain't a sad story. But boy, you talking about a sad boy. Honored to do what my country had asked me to do. I'd go do it again if I needed to. But it ripped my heart out. I got so homesick, I couldn't stand it. I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. You talking about some long nights and long days. And I believe a time or two I laid my head down on my pillow and a tear ran down my cheek and landed on it. I got homesick. Well, make a long story short, we finally made it through toward the end of that thing, and somebody said, "Hey, have you heard the war's over with?" Son, that's what I'd been waiting on. That's what I wanted to hear. And I said, "Does that mean we're going to get to go home?" And they said, "Yeah, we're going to have to start packing up and getting ready. We're going to be leaving soon." I said, "Thank God. That's the best news I've heard in months." Well, we started packing up and getting things ready. And finally, it came. They took us over to Doha, Iran, Saudi Arabia, to the airport over there. Got us over there, and they had an old tent set up outside the airport over there. And all there was in that tent was some concrete blocks. And they told us to go over there. Said, "Go over there in that tent and make yourselves at home, and we'll let you know when it's time to leave." We went over there in that tent and sat down on them old concrete blocks. Made ourselves at home. And they said it'd just be a couple hours. Well, a couple hours came and went. They come and stuck their head back in there and said, "Men, going to be a couple more hours. Just make yourselves at home." A couple more hours came and went. They stuck their head back in and said, "Looks like it's going to be this evening. Just make yourselves at home." A couple of that evening came by, and they come back in there and stuck their head in. "Look like it might be tonight sometime." Y'all get where I'm going? Over 2 days later, we're still sitting in a tent making ourselves at home. I want you to get a hold of this right here. When you know you're about ready to go home, you can endure anything.
Amen, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, brother, that's good, preacher.
That'll settle in on somebody, amen. Yeah. Boy, if you know you're about to leave, you know you're about to go home, yeah. Friend, you can just about endure anything, amen. Yeah. Finally, that big bird pulled up out there. Yeah. And they said, that's your verse.
Hey.
That's the one you're leaving on.
Yes.
We got all of our stuff
Man, they's using us for shipping. Everything we could carry, we had it on our shoulders. And on our, we had rucksacks and duffel bags, and I had three or four M16s and probably three or four Colt 45s. And you're talking about a bad dude now. Amen. Finally, we started loading up. We got on board. They was flying us home commercial. And I got me a window seat. And I'll never forget when a Felder take off, run down the runway. And we lifted off the ground. I looked out that little hole, and all I could see was desert. It's all I could see. And some with a smile from ear to ear, I just said, bye, bye, desert land. Hey, man. They flew us from Dahran, Saudi Arabia, over to Rome, Italy. From Rome, Italy, up to Shannon, Ireland. From Shannon, Ireland, we finally got up to New York, New York. They let us off a plane for a little while there at the airport. And they rushed us up and got us back on the plane, loaded up, pulled out on the runway, and sat on the runway for 7 hours waiting to take off. You can't make this stuff up. A voice came over the intercom and said, men, we're going to have to reroute you. Tornadoes are hitting at Fort Bragg, and we're going to have to fly you down to Seymour Johnson. And we'll get you from Seymour Johnson to Fort Bragg somehow. So they flew us down to Seymour Johnson. Got down to Seymour Johnson. They rounded up 10 trailway buses. And they's going to bus us from Seymour Johnson up to Fort Bragg. Well, we started piling on them buses, and for some reason or another, I got on the last bus. And this was before the days of GPS. He got separated from the front nine and didn't have a clue how to get to Fort Bragg. That's the truth. Couldn't stop and ask nobody. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So we're circling. We're driving every direction. And there's about 50 men on there that thinks they know everything, trying to tell him where to go. Well, I said, my soul, oh, Lord, just get me home. We were scheduled to be home over 2 days before this. They got word to families and everybody else when we were scheduled to be home. We're over 2 days late now, and we didn't know what to expect. Finally, that 10th bus rolled in. Won't you get a hold of this? Those are other nine buses, they wouldn't let none of them off the bus till we all got there together. Amen. Amen. They ain't gonna take one bite of the marriage supper lamb until I'm at the table. Amen. Hey, they're gonna wait on us. Thank God they're gonna wait on us. That 10th bus rolled in. We started unloading. It's 4 o'clock in the morning now. We didn't know what to expect. Really didn't. So we started filing off, and we happened to notice that a little crowd had gathered. And that little crowd started making their way toward us. So we, in turn, started making our way toward that little crowd. And as that little crowd got closer, I was scanning faces.
I guarantee you.
And the first one I recognized was my mama. My mama had made the trip and was there waiting on me, even at 4 o'clock in the morning. That might, I know it don't mean nothing to you, but I'm a mama's boy. You talking about a pretty sight when I seen my little mama. And beside her was my daddy. My brother had come. He'd made the trip. He died about 8 years ago. The only brother I had just stopped breathing, 39-year-old. But I'll never forget he'd made that trip down. And I'm going to be honest, boy, it's good to see my mama, my daddy, brother.
But don't think too bad about me. I'm still scanning the crowd. There's a bride in there somewhere. Surely, 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 surely she's in there somewhere. And I happened to find her. I seen her. She took off a running toward me. And all that stuff I had, I dropped it. I just let her lay. I took off a running to her and we fell in each other's arms. I'd finally made it home. I said all that, say this. Here in a little while, church, we're going to get the news that the war's over with. Amen. Yeah, somebody's going to say it's time to go home, thank God. I don't know if you like to fly or not, but thank God we're going to take off. We're going to leave the ground. Y'all believe this, don't you? Yeah, somebody said, preacher, I'm afraid to fly. You won't be afraid that day, thank God. Amen, we're going to leave the ground. I don't know if we'll do it or not, but if we do, it'd be all right if we just turn around on the way up and said bye-bye, desert land. Hallelujah, I'm a going home, thank God. We're going to land up yonder in the clouds. Amen. Oh no, we ain't going straight inside the gate. We're going to land in the clouds. And when we do, there's going to be a crowd gathered together. Yes. And some of you are going to look at the crowd and you're going to start picking out some faces.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
May have been a long time ago since you saw Mama.
Yes.
Oh, boy, ain't it going to be good.
Yes,
when you look up yonder that day. There she is.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody told me the other day, said, preacher, I about forgot what she looks like. It's been so long. Oh, you'll recognize her real quick. Daddy gonna make a trip. Mamaws, papaws, I don't know how it'd be to lose a child. My heart goes out to you. But ain't that gonna be good to see them again? Amen. Reunion, friend, reunion. But I believe for a child of God, our eyes ain't gonna be quite satisfied yet. I told you I hadn't got to the best part yet. We won't be satisfied. Woo! I'm talking about the one that went to Calvary. Woo! The one that bled and died and suffered so we wouldn't have to go to hell. Hey, we'll finally be home when we see him, thank God. I'm going to get to see him. I've preached about him. We've sung about him. I've talked to him, thank God. But I ain't seen him yet. But here in a little while, thank God, I'm going to. I'm going to see him. Well, glory. I'm going to see him. Woo. I don't know if we'll run, fall in his arms, but bless God, we'll at least fall in his feet. Amen. No wonder the songwriter penned down them old words. What a day it will be when my Jesus I shall see. Yeah, we'll be home then. We'll be home. We'll be home. Church, it's even more evident in this day. That's the only hope we really got left. Titus 2:11 said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. But he didn't stop right there. He said, looking forward. What did he call it? The blessed hope.
of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Church, if you lose everything you've got down here materially, you'll still be able to go on. Somehow, you'll go on. Job showed us we could lose our families and still go on. Won't you get a hold of this? If you ain't got no hope, you've got nothing to carry you on. You've got no reason to go on. It's hope. It's hope that keeps us going. Hope keeps us going. And thank God, my hope's not based on the economy. My hope's not hanging on the next election. It may all fall apart by tomorrow. But thank God my hope's lying in the fact that Jesus is coming. I'm his and he's mine. And it's going to get better here in a little while. And even better than that, the best is yet to come. Thank God. That's my hope. It's a blessing to the saints. But not only is it a blessing to the saints, the idea that he's coming bothers a sinner. Hide it. Try to hide it if you can. But I know better. If there's somebody in here this evening that's not saved and you know it, then the idea that he's coming, and really the idea that he's coming soon, friend, it's bothering you. If you've got every bit of sense about you at all, if you even think it's possible, it has to bother you. Because you know down the depths of your heart when he's coming, contrary to popular belief today, when he comes, he's not coming for everybody. I'm talking about rapture time. He's not coming for everybody. He's only coming for his bride. He's only coming for those that have been born again. Those that are saved. If you're tonight lost, you ain't never been saved, and Jesus was to come before I'm through, you will be left behind. You will be. Brother Barry, I believe if it's a Sunday morning when Jesus comes, I believe a lot of our churches still be half full. I believe that. He's not coming for everybody. He's only coming for his bride. Titus mentioned it a little while ago. I watched it bother him. He knew Jesus coming. He knew he wasn't coming for everybody. And he also knew in his heart he wasn't coming for him. Numerous trips back and forth to mom and daddy's bedroom. Looking in to see if we're still in the bed. Afraid Jesus come left him behind. Watched it bother him. Watched it bother him until one Monday night. I was preaching revival in a little old country church in Robbinsville. First note of invitation. First note. He doesn't wrestle it through the whole service. First note of invitation. He popped up and crawled out over mama. He got out in the aisle. And I watched him. He didn't walk. He wasn't chewing gum and popping bubbles. He was running down the aisle. And he fell in over here on this side. Old daddy about to bust. I got my Bible and I got down. I reckon I thought I was going to help him, but I realized real quick he didn't need daddy's help. I heard him praying. Lord, please forgive me for my sin. Lord, I don't want to die lost and go to hell. Lord, please save me. Something happened that night. Ain't been bothered about it since. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, if you're here tonight and you're bothered about it, best thing you can do is junk your professions and junk whatever you've done in the past and run to Jesus. Run to an old-fashioned altar and beg God to save you. And I promise you, you won't have to worry about it no more. You can be ready. And you can know that if today's the day, then He's coming for me. Whew. I'm glad to know if it is, He's coming for me. I don't know about you, but He's coming for me. I'm going to throw this out here. I've probably preached too long already. But contrary to some of this movies and books that's been put out in the past, when He comes, don't you dare think that you're going to wait around and watch and see. And if something like that happens, then you're going to believe. You can forget it. You done sinned away your day of grace. And you done waited too long. Amen. I promise you, you better not wait till then. You better do business with God right now. Today's the day. Amen. Come now. Let us reason together. You better not wait and see. The idea that He's coming bothers a sinner. And I'm going to say this. Church, it also ought to bother us some. Too many of us sitting right in here tonight has got family members. Maybe even immediate family members. These moms and dads that's got some kids that ain't saved. There's some young people that's got some moms and dads that ain't saved. There's some of you got next door neighbors that ain't saved. Some of you rub elbows with folk at work every day that ain't saved. Amen. And if today or tomorrow's the day, can you think how it's going to be? While we're gone, we're going to leave them behind. I'm telling you, it ought to bother some of us some. Here's a problem, church. We're real bothered. But we're more bothered about this stinking economy. We're more bothered about the election. We're more bothered about this stuff. And while the whole time our families are lost without God and on the verge of missing Jesus, my soul, God help us to get bothered. May we get bothered. We're about to the place we can't even shed a tear for somebody that's lost no more. God help us to get bothered. God help us to be bothered. Do you know somebody tonight? Is there a face on your mind? Is there a name in your mind? You ought to be bothered about it. And in the meantime, while some of these are praying, I'd say there's still somebody left in a pew had never been saved by the grace of God. You know it as well as you're sitting there. You're not saved by the grace of God.